All right, I just boned up the entire podcast. That's why we are 19 minutes late. But we are finally live because I forgot every last slide to the podcast at my house when I drove in here at 9:15. So I screwed up the whole thing. That's why if you know anybody that should be watching that's not right now, send them a message. We are back live right now because Aaron saved the day, sent me a text. I drove back. We put it all together, hopefully. But anyway, screwed up the entire podcast. Thank you guys for being here. Appreciate you. Lovely. Love you. Tuesday night, and we are live. The one and only Nude Monk is on already in the rant for $50. Thank you so much. Guitar Glenn is on. Charlie 340 is on. Greater Denim is on. Christopher Arnott is on. JD Wool is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Snod Dodd 311 is on. Jenny Fogg is on. Goosey 600 is on. Beehaven is on. Daniel Armstrong Rec is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Producer Aaron is on. Just Fact is on. Just Sexy Pony is on. Just Fact is on. Joe Heathen's on. D9597 is on. DK Jackson is on. Conservative Waffle is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Green Rose Patriot is on. Teb Powell 50 is on. The one and only Big Jim Go Blue is on. Robin Aroni is on. Leon Fish Puppy, she is on. I Am Mark FB is on. The one and only Clean Sanchez is on. Sunmoon 45 is on. Drumming for Jesus is on. When I say Clean Sanchez, my daughter goes, ew. Lisa Kinzer is on. Uncle Wally is on. JTRENTJR. Overtime tonight. J Trend TJR. Something like, I don't know. We'll see. I'll get out whatever I got to get out. I got to get out all the agitation. We'll see. TJT1 is on. Let me see who I missed here. Scrolling down. Biggie92678 is on. Let me see here. Am I missing anybody? Patriot508 is on. JohnnyF62 is on. Missed anybody? Makita Man is on. All right, let's get rolling here since I've already put it so far behind schedule. Let's hop right to it. Are we talking to Joey tonight? Is that what we're doing? We're talking to Joey tonight.
Yeah.
Got our friend in here. It's a longtime buddy of ours that's helping us work the podcast tonight. let me see. Who's chanting retard? Big Jim Go Blue. I just caught that. But anyway. All right, Gunther Eagleman video. All right, breaking. SCOTUS has ruled in Trump's favor. Play for me.
Looking live at the White House there, we're getting some breaking news at this hour coming out of the Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court has handed President Trump a victory, letting him and his administration use the 1798 law that historically has been employed only in wartime to swiftly deport alleged Venezuelan gang members as part of the Republican president's hardline approach to immigration. Granting that administration request to lift the Washington-based U.S. judge James Boasberg's March 15th order that had temporarily blocked the summary deportations under the Alien Enemies Act while litigation in the case continues. So the Supreme Court has weighed in. Let's start there with our panel. Let's bring in our panel, Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief at USA Today, Washington Post columnist, American Enterprise Institute Senior Fellow Mark Thiessen, and Sabrina Singh, former Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary. Mark, we assume the Supreme Court was going to get active here soon on some of these cases. This seems like the first, and they're saying not only a pause to bring back that one man that they say they deported erroneously, but this is just allowing them to continue their deportation process.
Yeah, this is a big victory for Trump in the new lawfare. So the old lawfare was try to destroy Donald Trump, 91 indictments, 2 impeachments, civil suits to destroy him and all the rest of it. That all failed. He won the election and came back stronger than ever. And so the new lawfare is to try and stop him from implementing his agenda through a miasma of court cases. And this was a perfect example of it. And the Supreme Court is now allowing him to use this law. So this is a first victory in the fight against the new lawfare.
So like I said in the title of the podcast, Trump has to be laughing because he just keeps on winning. He just keeps on winning. He's going to win because SCOTUS can't do anything but rule correctly for the most part. Now, we know Amy Coney Barrett and John Roberts really, for all intents and purposes, are our enemies. But they do have to maintenance the veneer of conservatism. And as they do, we are going to capitalize on that need. And this is one of those cases where neither one of them are ever going to vote in our favor, as Amy Coney Barrett did not in this particular vote. 5-4 siding with the globalist leftist bourgeois elitist, you know, Kagan, Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson, who doesn't know what a woman is, on the left side of the court. So, but all this, I mean, it's a very simplistic rule. Imagine the president of the United States having to go to the Supreme Court to run the executive branch according to established law. Imagine having to go to the SCOTUS to establish running on established law. Because the Alien Enemies Act has been in place since 1798, and he's simply implementing what it said. Has it ever been overturned? Aaron, has it ever been overturned?
Nope.
All right, so you run it then. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
Run off of it. As simple as that. He runs off. He's basically, all it is him using the military to deport illegal aliens. It's as simple as that. There's nothing to it. He's declared an invasion. Has it been an invasion? I think, let's see, somewhere between 10 and 21 million illegals crossing the southern border in the last, 4 years would classify as an invasion, because I don't think there's ever been a larger invasion in all of history.
No.
Whether you go back to the Visigoths and the Roman Empire, I don't think you go back to World War I, World War II, Civil War, Revolutionary War. Remember when the Canadians attacked us in 1812, according to Joy Reid? That war of 1812 was actually British versus America. I don't think there's ever been a larger invasion than 20 million people invading through a country's southern border. And all Trump did was to call it an invasion, initiate the Alien Enemies Act, and start deporting all these people. And, of course, normalize. And remember the names behind all of, because all, again, most of the Democratic Party are simply puppets, just like the Republican Party. You just decide on the platform, not the politicians. I follow the Republican Party platform, not Republican Party politicians. I hope that we have, like, there's a big, big primary going on in Texas right now where Ken Paxton, AG of the state of Texas, is going to primary challenge John Red Flag Law Cornyn. It's big. Just announced. If I get to it, we'll talk about it. But, I guess we're already talking about it. But anyway, so that right there, legit, risky Republican. Not overly electable Republican, someone like Ken Paxton. You're like, well, he won the AG race. Yeah, and then they tried to impeach him out of power using trumped up fake pseudo crimes. They were never crimes, but just impeachable offenses. But none of those things actually existed. But I don't have time to get into Ken Paxton's impeachment right now. But you're like, Tom, how do you know all this stuff? Because I have no life. That's why. I have no life. This is what I do right here. I scream and yell. And I preach messages, and I do podcasts, and I wear shirts that say pure blood and things like that on them. That's it. And I like it. I enjoy my life. But anyway, so this is we follow the Republican platform. We don't the conservative platform. We don't follow Republican Party politicians. Running Ken Paxton against John Cornyn is very risky. John Cornyn is very electable because he will never hesitate to bend over and grab his ankles. He's even worse than that. Here it comes, Aaron. Yep. He's worse than that. He finds a way to bend over even more by not even just skipping ankles, sliding up to his butt cheeks and spreading them wide. That's who John Cornyn is. And it's risky not to run him because he's going to be elected. But then, as the point that I always bring up, if you're going to say Republican versus Democrat, if they both legislate as Democrat, then why not run the risky Republican? What's the point of, we can for sure win and get John Cornyn in there? Yeah, but then he legislates as Democrat. So you might as well let the Democrat win against the risky Republican. Let's go to the next one. Where the heck am I? Is it Gunther Eagleman again? Gunther Eagleman, breaking, SCOTUS just ruled in Trump's favor again. Play for me.
We start, though, with breaking news at the Supreme Court. It just handed President Trump another win, allowing his administration to fire hundreds of probationary federal workers. I want to get straight to Paula Reed, who was looking through the decision. Paula, what did they say?
So, Dana, this is a significant win for the administration. The fourth one they have notched from the Supreme Court in just the past few days. Here, this decision is focused on thousands of fired probationary federal workers. Now, this decision will allow the government to keep those individuals off the payroll while the larger questions about these firings are litigated. Now, this was decided not on a constitutional issue or really on the merits. It was decided on something called standing, which is whether the individuals who brought this lawsuit had the right to do so. And here the court says that the 9 nonprofit organizations did not have standing in this case. So again, this is sort of a technical win, but it is still a win for the administration, though it's unclear how this will apply to all fired probationary workers, because a separate judge in Maryland earlier this month ordered a pause and a reinstatement of some employees that are not covered by this case. But I do want to say, Dana, the Justice Department, the Trump administration, they've been waiting for a while for good news from the courts after a string of losses, and they have been getting a lot of good news from the high court over the past few days.
Okay, Paula, stand by, because I do want to come back to you in a short while about other topics the Supreme Court.
All right, so there you go. There's another Trump victory right then. Again, laughing. It's just like it's Psalm 23. I set a table for you in the presence of your enemies. To me, it's God that sets up horrendous globalist leftist bourgeois elitist baby butchering transgender mongers. He sets them up to be mocked. He sets them up to be mocked. There's another Trump SCOTUS win where, by some federal judge probably out in Northern California, D.C., wherever it may be, because they never hold, it's funny how they Norm Eisen never brings any of these cases. And you just think about what I'm saying here. Norm Eisen never brings any of these cases in red jurisdictions. But all the red people are supposed to trust rulings by the judiciary, and if you don't, you're a seditious conspiratorialist. You're just supposed to trust that these people are going to be unbiased. You're supposed to trust that Engeron will be unbiased. You're supposed to trust that Mershon will be unbiased, that Tanya Shutkin will be unbiased, that Jeb Bosberg will be unbiased, even though all of them are Democratic Party contributors and Democratic Party activists and Democratic Party acolytes. But don't worry, even though you're a defendant in front of them, they're suddenly they're going to rule in an unbiased, apolitical manner. And if you don't trust that, you're a threat to democracy, and you're an insurrectionist. And that's exactly what's going on here. So these are very easy overturns for this SCOTUS. It's absolutely nonsensical, because Trump fires all these federal workers, probationary employees. You know what probationary employee means? Employee on probation, which means you can be fired for nothing. That's what it means. I remember that when the first 6 months as a deputy sheriff, you're a probationary employee serving at the discretion of the sheriff. It doesn't matter what you do. If you burped wrong, they'd fire you. And they don't even need to write a reason why. You're not under contract. You have nothing that protects your employment status. They just fire you for cause. That's it. Everybody understands that. And that's exactly what Trump did. So all these employees that were slated to work that are probationary employees, They're waiting to get their job at USAID. I know USAID really no longer exists, because they fired out of the 14,000 employees that there were. There's now 200. And has anybody even noticed? Has your life gotten any worse since there's no USAID? Has your life substantively gone downhill since they're all gone? Oh, no. 14,000 federal employees were fired. What's going to happen to my life? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So all these people that were going to take their place, they're going to be the next tranche of employees. And I can't remember what the numbers were, but Aaron ran me some numbers before a couple weeks ago of how many people used to be employed in the federal government versus who's now employed. And all these, the numbers that have been added over and over again, and all of it has done what? Nothing. I want you to think about it. How has American life gotten better since we have 2 to 3 million federal employees? How has life gotten any better for any American? Nothing. Not one little bit. Not one little bit has gotten better. Nothing has gotten better for any American. But again, what right does a federal appellate judge, an appointed judge, non-elected judge, obviously not voted in, how does an appellate judge, of course, judge shopped, to check the appropriate leftard boxes, how are they able to shut down the executive branch? This has to end. Eventually, it would get to the place with all these stacked up lawsuits, and there's 200 of them, filed by Norm Eisen in his various funded by you and me NGO groups. Funded by, you're like, well, you can't really trace. You can easily trace it back. And believe me, Elon Musk is tracing it all back. There's some huge Doge announcement that is coming. We don't know what it is. He put it out there. We don't know what it is. But you and I, again, fund our own opposition. How tough is that, man? Think about that. You're funding your own opposition. It's like if you're playing in a baseball game and you bribed the umpire to rule against you. So sounds true. Like a Monty Python skit.
Right.
But anyway, so that's what's happening right now. And how does the judge have the power? They don't. Eventually, it was going to come to the place where Donald Trump was going to have to ignore these rulings. It was going to have to happen. And we were just going to have to see what would happen. Because, as Mike Davis says, I don't believe any of these courts have green berets. They're not going to go and dispatch. They have no ability to dispatch any army or any law enforcement force to reinforce or to enforce their rulings. They don't have any. They have nobody to do that. Right now, in any court here in Sarasota County, the judge, if he issues an edict, he has the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office, Sarasota Police Department, right where I'm sitting right here, Northport Police Department, they have those law enforcement agencies at their disposal to enforce their rulings. What does Bossberg have? Nothing. He is the supervisory appellate judge in Washington, D.C., U.S. District Judge in Washington, D.C. He has no army. He has no police force. And you can just simply ignore him and there's nothing he can do about it. Same thing happens with the SCOTUS, if need be. Because if the SCOTUS, remember, one of the biggest rules that humanity needed to learn over history is that it's not a viable excuse that I was simply following orders. So that includes, to me, a judicial order. So you just say, well, I only did it because the judge ordered me to do it. It gets to a place at time, there comes to a place in time. And I'm not talking about violence. I'm not advocating violence. I'm saying it comes to a place in time where you have to ignore orders and do what's correct. It does sometimes get to that place, and it was getting to that place now. And right now, the SCOTUS, as Mike Davis says, I guess that Amy Coney Barrett has removed her head from her anus and has decided to rule correctly. She's gotten an anusectomy and has decided that she's going to rule correctly. So, right, in this particular case. So imagine telling the president of the United States, we're going to allow you to fire federal workers. Allow me to fire federal workers. As the chief executive of the executive branch. So let's go to the next one. Eric Schmidt video. How did Judge Bossberg get the TDA case, Tren de Agua case, when he wasn't the emergency assignment judge on March 15th? This sounds eerily familiar to Juan Merchan, does it not? Play for me.
Judge Bossberg, over the weekend, it came out, he's not the emergency judge in D.C. He inserted himself in that role. He was on vacation. The case was filed at 2:30 in the morning. Somehow, he ended up with that case. He wasn't the emergency judge on duty. So I think this requires further investigation and legislation.
So let me get that straight, because I'll quote you on that, because that is news to me and maybe a lot of other people, too. If he wasn't the emergency judge who would naturally matriculate into that position on this, he just gets to pick himself and say, well, I'm the favorite. Let me go do this case against Trump.
He's the chief judge, and he inserted himself. That doesn't happen. The emergency judges, 100% of the time, get those cases. So he could have been tipped off that this was going to be filed, and while on vacation, he took the case. So again, this speaks to, I think, the very aggressive, unusual, and unprecedented measures that these activist judges are taking to insert themselves. Ultimately, they're not going to be right. The Supreme Court's going to slap them down. But the Judicial Conference, Chief Justice Roberts ought to look at this, and we also, the Article I branch, I intend to file legislation to make sure this randomness, which is supposed to happen when these cases are assigned, actually happens. We need more transparency, because right now people don't think it's random at all.
All right, so let's go over a few things with this. And this sounds, again, very eerily familiar to Juan Merchan in New York City for Donald Trump's 34 felony convictions. Which, man, I mean, that as soon as I bring up that case, literally all this stuff just fills my mind, and I want to talk about it for 30 minutes, but I'm not going to do that, about the legitimacy of the case and everything else. Completely legitimate case. A completely illegitimate case. But anyway, just he got prosecuted for crimes that don't exist. But even with that, so in the Juan Merchan, you have a 24-judge rotational panel in New York City. 24 judges. Basically, every time a case comes up, they do a random, almost lottery ball drawing. Really, I'm not, this is not an exaggeration. And you have a 1 in 24 judge chance of being the judge in a case. That's exactly how those cases happen. Why? So there is at least no veneer of political bias. Now, Juan Merchan, though, in three Trump cases, Bannon, Trump himself, and then a Trump staffer with the parking pass gate. Big deal that money was used to give people parking passes. It sounds like the case against Marine Le Pen.
Yeah.
Well, I could just go into this. I shouldn't even start. But anyway.
Do it.
No, yeah, I know. It's just basically laws that if you want to call them laws being broken, every human being is breaking them. Marine Le Pen is from, and Aaron, you can get the logistics correct. I think it was EU money spent on France or France spent on EU.
EU on France.
EU France. So when you would, because as Elon Musk says, just showing you how this works, because same thing's happening with Bolsonaro in Brazil. Same thing happened with the president of Romania, having his election taken down, and now he is facing legal problems. And then, of course, I can't remember, Slovakia, I believe it is, where you had the president there shot four times. It's happening all over the globe. All over the globe this is happening. Only for MAGA people. You're like, they're not MAGA. They really are. They are all nationalist, nation-first people. Not race first, nation first. Nation means everybody where? In the nation. Gay, straight, black, white, or anything else. So Merchan, he has a 1 in 24 chance of getting a case, but he gets all three Trump cases right in a row. Bam, 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 gets them. And then here's the coup de grace. He's not even part of the 24-judge panel. He's not even part of the rotational system. Well, the same thing happens here with Bosberg, who's not even part of the rotation. As Senator Eric Schmidt says, he's supposed to be the one who delegates. He never takes the cases. And 100%, get this, Aaron, 100% of all previous cases went to somebody other than him.
Oh, my gosh.
And then suddenly he takes all the Trump cases.
Weird.
As if there's a motive. And there is, because his wife receives money from NGOs and his daughter receives money from NGOs. And Donald Trump is cutting what? Funding to NGOs. So he makes sure that he positions himself and rules to financially benefit himself, his daughter, and his wife. Funny how that works, isn't it? And here's the other coup de grace. He was on vacation at the time. He's on vacation, comes off of vacation to take a Trump case that he's never taken before, situationally speaking, ever. Because situationally, he's the one in charge of delegating it to random judges. And guess what? When you're supposed to be delegating it to random judges, when you delegate it to yourself every time, you're not random. So all of this, people like Bosberg need to be criminally prosecuted. That's it. Put in jail, criminally prosecuted. I'm talking about, listen again. And you're like, well, if we do that to them, they're going to do that to us. They already are. You must have missed the Mar-a-Lago raid. James O'Keefe just got his two phones over the Ashley Biden raid today.
Jeez.
It was 3 years ago. 3 years ago. He just got his phones back today from the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Which, by the way, just want to say, not impressed so far with Cash Patel.
No.
I mean, he was at a hockey game the other night, putting out pictures of himself and Alex Ovechkin. There we go. I mean, I love Cash Patel. Not impressed. Bongino, not impressed. What's going on? Nothing. Aaron, you know anything? I don't know anything. Nothing's going on. There are pictures of Cash Patel with Alex Ovechkin, though.
Oh, that's good.
Ovechkin. I got to get that name in my head. But anyway, I mean, it's just, that's it. I mean, like, Tom, you're being mean. I'm not impressed with Pam Bondi either.
No.
Not impressed with RFK Jr. either.
No.
Nothing. What's being done? Nothing. RFK Jr. now says, believe me, I'm getting to that in just a second. You're like, Tom, you roast your own. Correct. Judgment begins where? In your own house. That's where it begins. 1 Peter 4:17. It begins with us. So you know what? You're not going to judge your own house, okay? Then you're just going to be a sycophant. Then you're going to lapse into being the Democratic Party. And that's what the Republic, really, for all intents and purposes, not the platform, but the people in the party, that's what they've lapsed into being. That's how you end up with Ron or Romney McDaniel running the RNC and purposely losing elections because he's actually a Democrat. All right, so Gateway Pundit tweet, Trump DOJ summons U.S. Marshals to warn fired Biden-era pardon attorney over testifying at shadow hearing. Remember, this was shadow government hearing run by Adam Schiff, Jamie Raskin, and little Dickie Durbin, who refuses to release the Epstein flight logs. And Aaron, if the Epstein, now Aaron and I and the TLP podcast, and many other conservatives, including like Marsha Blackburn, who isn't exactly a fireball, but the senator out of the state of Tennessee, absolutely roasted Tricky Dicky Durbin, or it's either Tricky Dicky Durbin or little Dicky Durbin. We'll let him choose. Or we can go with a combo, little Tricky Dicky Durbin. But anyway, you have to get little in there somewhere. But roasted him for not releasing the Epstein flight logs. Aaron, have we seen the Epstein flight logs?
No. Nope,
okay, yet. I'm just curious. I mean, we're on what, day 78, something like that, of the Trump administration? Yep. Where are they at? Where are the Epstein flight logs? You're like, Tom, you shouldn't say negative. Trump, here, let me say the positive. Trump's the greatest president in the history of the United States. And who was second best? His first term. There, I mean, I can't be any nicer than that.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to point out either Trump is missing the boat or people are failing him. Or people are being controlled by outside forces outside of the Trump administration. Because where is it? Why can't we see all the Epstein flight lines? Why can't we see everything you have on JFK, RFK, MLK? Why can't we see everything? Where is it? How long does it take? Well, it's just a long process to make sure we redact the victims. Everybody's freaking dead. What victims? Everybody's dead. Okay, Aaron, this is a deep, dark secret. Are you ready?
Yeah.
RFK's dead. Not RFK Jr. RFK is dead.
Yeah.
JFK's dead. MLK's dead. Everybody in the investigation's dead. Everybody who conducted the investigation's dead. All the suspects are dead because they were executed themselves. So what exactly are we having to redact?
Right.
Where? Same thing with the Epstein files. Okay, again, I was a cop for 25 years. I know, by the way, the reports, get this if you don't know this, the reports are written in redaction. Does everybody understand that about police reports? When you hear Pam Bondi or anybody else say, well, we have to work on the redactions, the reports are written in redaction.
Yeah.
When you write a report with a juvenile victim, you already redact a freaking name. You already redacted. It's already part of what's called a confidential supplement or a confidential narrative. So aren't you glad I got my voice back? Yeah, scream again.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm born again. Isn't it great? I'm sure you're enjoying it. But I say that facetiously. But anyway, it's already redacted. We don't need to wait for redactions. Give us the non-redacted part of the report, which is the main body of the report. We don't even need the victims' freaking names. Kevin Spacey doesn't get redacted. He's on the flight log. All of the Democratic Party activists that are on the Epstein flight log, they don't get redacted. All right, back to this. You're like, Tom, didn't you start this slide like 10 minutes ago? Yeah. This is just very interesting because you had this woman here. She's testifying at their shadow government meeting run by the stalwarts of integrity, Jamie Raskin, Adam Schiff, and little Tricky Dicky Durbin. So Trump DOJ summons U.S. Marshals to warn fired Biden-era pardon attorney over testifying in shadow hearing, but she does it anyway. Here's the article from the Gateway Pundit, very brief, just a little snippet of the article. The Trump Justice Department summoned U.S. Marshals to go to talk to this lady, to deliver a letter, and all the Democrats are so upset. How could you use the Marshals to go and request that this woman not testify? These people raided Roger Stone's house, raided Project Veritas, raided Mar-a-Lago, arrested Steve Bannon and put him in prison, arrested Navarro and put him in prison, raided Rudy Giuliani's apartment, disbarred Rudy Giuliani, debanked countless conservatives, bankrupted Alex Jones, and you're going, oh, you sent the U.S. Marshals to have a conversation with Elizabeth. Her name is Elizabeth Oyer. The Justice Department summoned U.S. Marshals to deliver a letter to fired Biden-era pardon attorney Liz Oyer to warn her about her testimony at a shadow hearing by congressional Democrats. And you and I are the seditious conspiratorialist, and they're having a shadow government, but you and I are the seditious ones. President Trump's Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche fired Elizabeth Oyer last month. Elizabeth Oyer told the New York Times she was fired for refusing to restore actor Mel Gibson's gun rights. You know what happens, little Lizzie? When your boss tells you to restore Mel Gibson's rights, gun rights, you know what you do, Aaron? What do you do?
You do it.
You restore Mel Gibson's gun rights.
Yeah.
That's what you do. So she was fired for not following a direct order. She's fired for insubordination. The Justice Department tried to invoke executive privilege and warned Oyer against testifying in a shadow hearing. So what they need to do is listen to her testimony and just find a little snippet where she violated the president's executive privilege and then charge her with it. This is the game that has to be played. Yeah, but if you do that to them, they're going to do it to you. They've already been doing it to us for decades. And since we never do anything retributive, they keep doing it. You're going to have to make them live by their own ways in order to get them to change their ways. They're going to have to swallow the syrup of Ipecac, or they're going to continue to make us swallow it. That's why they make you get tased. They make you get tased and the sheriff's office is going to carry a taser. They make you get cap stunned if you're going to carry cap stun, which is cayenne pepper spray, so that you know what you're putting other people through. So you're a little bit more hesitant to make somebody suffer at the wrong end of a taser if you yourself have been tased. And believe me, I've been tased. Not fun. Not fun at all. Here's some more. Here's another victory for you. Go next. I'm in the Trump section of the show, if you haven't figured that out already. Executive senior CIA official who facilitated Biden's military COVID-19 vaccine mandate fired. CIA? Mm. You're telling me, Tom, that this, well, here's the thing. It was all a military DOD op. I don't have time to get into that right now, but that's what it was. And this picture of health. He wants to tell everybody else who, honestly, if she was laying on the beach, harpoons would spontaneously start flying in the air at her, and then all of us would gather around to try to drag her back in the ocean. We were all thinking we were doing some big humanitarian effort.
Shamu.
I'm sorry for that. I really am sorry about the coughing and everything else. I really am. That's what would happen. We'd be on the news. Look at all these great, wonderful Good Samaritans saving this whale. Whoops, that's a lady.
Greenpeace, gathered around.
And that's the bird. So, yeah, the senior CIA official who facilitated Biden's military COVID-19 vaccine mandate is fired. See, the CIA working with the military to mandate the vax to soldiers. And again, an illegal vax. Because in order for you to mandate a vax in the United States military, it has to be FDA approved. And the only FDA approved vaccine to this day is Comirnaty. And Comirnaty has never been shot into the veins of one American. It's only been used in the vaccine trial for Comirnaty. So I can't believe there's not already a class action lawsuit. Where's Thomas Renz? Where's America First Legal? Where's the Liberty Council? There should be a massive, I don't care if Trump's in office, because it's not Trump's money, lawsuit for everybody who has that illegal vaccine flowing through their brains right now, through their veins right now, because they were afraid not to take it, because if they didn't take it, they'd lose their military career. Should be a giant class action lawsuit on all of those people that were victimized by this giant Shamu. getting whether it's multi-millions of dollars, getting back pay, whatever it may be. It should be million bucks each. A lot of these people's lives have been destroyed because their health is destroyed. All right, let's go to the next one. pick. Where am I at? Gateway Pundit. Woke. DEI obsessed. One win after another. So we had the fire vax mandator before, and now we got the fire DEI obsessed Navy vice admiral. Shit, that's somebody you really want in charge of a naval operation, isn't it?
Yeah.
That woman right there? I mean, I really want her in charge. If we're going to storm the beaches somewhere, I want a woman who couldn't storm the beaches running an operation to storm the beaches. When don't you want somebody commanding you who isn't able to do that which they're commanding you to do themselves? Don't you want that person who has never done it before in their lives? A woman who couldn't do a single sit-up or push-up, one pull-up, nothing, commanding American Armed Forces? Woke DEI-obsessed Navy Vice Admiral who allegedly refused to put up Trump's portrait at NATO. Oh, no problem. No problem, little missy. You're freaking fired. Has been fired. Another victory for Trump. One victory after another. Got to show you this one. Jumping off of Trump now. Townhall.com. No, I'm sorry. You got one more Trump. One more Trump. I'm one ahead. Total private investment. I just want to show you this. This is Donald Trump in 78 days versus Joe Biden in full 4 years. To show you where we're at. What's that going to... Aaron, can you imagine what that chart's going to look like in 4 years?
Oh, man.
Can you imagine what that's going to look like in 4 years? How do you look yourself in the eye and say, I'm proud to be a Democrat?
Yeah.
How do you look yourself in the eye and say, you know what? Democratic Party policies are really affective. Because look at what Trump has done in 78 days, being opposed by 200 freaking Norm Eisen lawsuits and still accomplishes that. Truly amazing. All right, now let's hop off of Trump. Townhall.com video. Always love to show the hypocrisy. Now, Alejandro Mayorkas. No, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said 4 years ago that we only had 12 years left. So we're on an 8-year clock. We're all dead because of CO2 that you and I are emitting right now. So we're all gonna be dead, right? Now, so you would think that if she thought that, she would do all that she could do to minimize her carbon footprint. Not so much. Townhall.com, holy hypocrisy, AOC. Play for me.
Conservatives are laying into progressive congresswoman from New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The question here, is it fair that they're going after her over this? Take a look. She was caught on camera traveling first class on a JetBlue flight last month. She was on her way to Las Vegas to speak at a Fight Oligarchy event with Senator Bernie Sanders, events in which she has been railing against the wealthy elite.
We are witnessing an oligarchy in America when those with the most economic, political, and technological power destroy the public good to enrich themselves. Certain ugly kind of politics that at its core is about lying to and screwing over working and middle class Americans.
Other passengers told the New York Post this. Nothing says power to the people like ignoring voters looking to say hello and reclining in first class while tweeting about income and inequality. And AOC is fighting the system one first class mimosa at a time. What's your reaction? Is this fair ground?
So she's off gallivanting around flying first class. And by the way, I have no problem with anybody flying first class. I actually refuse to fly now unless I can fly first class. I do because I'm sick and tired of flying and coach. So anyway, so she... So flying around first class, ignoring people, ordering her mimosas, and then going and talking about climate change and oligarchy when she is living the life of an oligarch. She herself is worth absolutely nothing as a bartender and a barista. That's right, Aaron.
Barista, yeah, barista.
Right? Yeah. Barista. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I don't know. So she's worth absolutely nothing until she comes into office and lives then as an oligarch and has attained millions upon millions of dollars somehow on a $174,000 salary, which is why they're all petrified of Elon Musk. Petrified of Elon Musk because he's going to find out where all that money came from because they're all getting those money. They're all getting those monies. Who gave them those monies? Who gave them all that money? Well, we all know, sadly, it came from you and me. You and I have made AOC a multimillionaire through NGOs, whether it's directly linked, indirectly linked, third, fourth party link, but it all came from you and I. We have made her a multimillionaire. And then she goes, and she's an activist, and, you know, I want to say, like, activated, but that's not really the right term. But she's out there being an activist for climate change as she flies around first class. Why if you're going to do that, why don't you, I mean, again, why don't you take a train or a bus? Why don't you do it remotely on a big screen and save us all? These carbon emissions are going to kill us in the next 8 years, because she never believed in herself. All climate change is to the globalist leftist bourgeois elitist is a vehicle to usher in totalitarian minute by minute, second by second control of your life. All right, let's go to the next one. Nick Sorter tweet, just showing you this from earlier in case you missed at the beginning of the show, which was 19 minutes late because of me. So breaking, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is set to announce his candidacy for U.S. Senate tonight. He will be primarying sitting Rhino, who loves red flag laws, who's always coming against Donald Trump, who has a very low liberty score. Aaron, see if you can find Corn's liberty score.
Yeah.
Who has been a massive impediment to the MAGA agenda. So this is, I'm telling you, I wish, again, I'm trying to give Pam Bondi the benefit of the doubt. I really am. Really miss Matt Gaetz. But my second choice was Ken Paxton. So yeah, so Aaron just sent me two. So get this. John Cornyn, who Ken Paxton needs to defeat easily, it should be an absolute landslide. He votes Republican. He votes conservative 54% of the time. So 46% of the time he's voting with Chuck Schumer. Now, if you compare that to a legit conservative, I'm not saying perfect, a legit conservative like Mike Lee, his liberty score is 94%. He only votes in any way, shape, or form with Democrats 6% of the time. John Cornyn, Ken Paxton's opponent, votes with Democrats 46, basically half the time he votes with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. That's who he is. All right, let's go to the next one. I just want to show you the stuff that's going on behind the scenes, and then we're going to hop to vaccine stuff. That's some vaccine stuff for everybody tonight. I'll keep it brief. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. All right, just want to show you. I thought Zuckerberg was coming around. He's out there licking Trump's boots and kissing his butt. That's all fraud. It's all buying time. It's all just buying time. It's just like Volodymyr Zelensky. You know, I will sign the minerals deal. And then she said that 6 times now.
Oh, that was great.
So he doesn't sign squat. He said it 6 times. He's going to sign the minerals deal. 6 times. That's why he got. You think J.D. Vance and Donald Trump were cocked and loaded. So pissed because Marco Rubio had already told him. He keeps saying that he's going to sign the minerals deal. And he never does it. All these guys are playing the same game. And Zuckerberg, has Facebook got any better for us, Aaron?
No.
No, not at all.
Now
and by the way.
40 on there.
Yeah, right. Okay, again. Between the church and myself, I have 30,000 followers on Facebook. My personal is 10,000, and I got stopped at 10,000. I haven't been able to add a friend. That sounds like a really sad situation, like a little puppy on the streets of Bangladesh, doesn't it? I haven't been able to add a friend. They stopped me at 10,000. And the church has like 20,000.
Yeah.
21,000, something like that. And we have 40 people watching. Our very first first week of this podcast, or second week of the podcast, we had as many people watching as I could see watching right now. And somehow I have 40 on Facebook. That was on Facebook alone.
Yeah.
We had 900 people watching live on Facebook. My first or second, it was probably our second podcast.
Yeah.
And now we have 40? How is that going to work? I mean, I know I make a lot of people mad, but we certainly would have accumulated some watchers and not lost 860.
Yeah.
And all we do is gain on Rumble. So Meta keeps big MAGA accounts on ban list as Mark Zuckerberg lobbies Trump. So hopefully this is getting to Trump. If you know somebody or know somebody that knows somebody that can get to Trump, make sure that Trump knows that Zuckerberg is still banning everybody. Nothing has gotten any better since his quote-unquote sort of repentive tour where he says, you know, yeah, I was manipulated by the FBI. Okay, if you know you're manipulated by the FBI, why am I still banned?
Right.
Because you really wanted to be manipulated by the FBI, and you're lying. You're lying under oath. You're lying, and you were sworn in for your congressional testimony. You're lying under oath. You're not unbanning anybody. And you weren't bothered that you were manipulated by the FBI because you weren't manipulated by the FBI. You had a digital back channel to the FBI, and you're perfectly fine with it for them to send in their ban list for the day. Wonder how many times I showed up on that thing. You're like, Tom, you're too big for your bridges. I'm just telling you at the time, if we were left unfettered right now, there'd be thousands of people watching because we had this many people watching our second podcast.
Yeah.
Each and every one of you. Five years ago, and I've had to scratch back from like 74 followers to get to where we are now. And Rumble kind of screwed us over by how they're doing the thing now. So they have like a headline page now, so everybody's going and watching Tim Pool right now.
Yeah.
And I love Tim Pool. He's great, but I'm like, Rumble, can the rest of us get on the front page? Can you help? Is there a way? Can you help us get on there? And by the way, Twitter sucks too. People are all over Twitter right now because you have Linda Riaccarino, founder of Peacock, which, by the way, she's great at what she does. But right. She's a bourgeois leftist, globalist elitist who loves to attend a WEF. Loves it. Loves the World Economic Forum. And for some reason, Elon has her in charge of Twitter. X.
Yeah.
Why? And it's very difficult to ever gain any ground on Twitter for some reason. And it's not just me. I see big accounts like Cat Turd saying, I'm getting banned right now.
Yeah.
Can't gain any new viewers. They keep getting viewers taken away. All those different things. So anyway, we just need to know who these guys really are. By the way, this pick came from Breitbart. I want to give proper credit. Go to the next one for me. This is old, but I just have to make sure that you see it.
Thank you.
This is old. I just had to make sure that you saw it. And I found the one with the best picture on it. It came from Liz of TikTok. Just in case somehow you missed it. In trans news. Breaking. Two men competed in the finals for the Ultimate Pool Series women's pro event in England. So the two finalists, just like in the Olympics, for the Ultimate Pool Series women's event are both men. It looks like the same man. It's not. Those are two fully penised men. Different men that just look the same because maybe demons just end up, if you're going to be like carved, you know, in the image of a demon, they just go ahead and continue to carve, you know, carve basically the same image over and over again. So there it is. You have two men. And again, what's amazing to me is if a leftist or a Democrat will not wake up from this. You had the disc golfer, the women's championship disc golfer walk away. You had the fence. I don't want to say the wrong term, but the fencer walk away from competing against men. And there's people just, you know, it's like those disgusting parents at the track meet watching their daughter get beat by 3 minutes in a 5 minute race by a guy. And they just sit there. Oh, you know, it's so good for the guy who used to be named Sam that we're calling Samantha. It's so great. Look at our virtue. Enjoy our virtue. Look how accommodating we are. Look how loving we are. No, look what a liar you are participating in someone else's delusions as a bouncing penis just destroyed your daughter. A Michelle Obama.
Yeah, don't dance if you're trans.
There you go. Right, don't dance. Yeah, give it away. Unless you got it tucked.
Yeah.
Taped and tucked.
Got to get them tuckums.
I guarantee you these guys don't. So, amazing you don't wake up when you see that in the women's finals, it's two men. I mean, do you not see that you're going to enjoy your little virtue signaling and maybe the positive ramifications of your participating in another person's delusions until your own daughter is leveraged out? Your own daughter leveraged right out because there's daughters that should be competing this. Well, you know, can't women compete equally with men in billiards? No, they can't. I'm sorry. There's a video put out right now by Adam Hughes, which I love, which shows a woman qualifying to be I don't know if it's Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, aviator. And she's passing every single male test to get in there. Okay. I'm not going to stop that.
Yeah.
I won't.
Yeah,
I will not stop. She passed every single test at the male standard. No problem. Aaron, why don't we see hundreds of those?
Yeah, I don't
know. Or thousands. Yeah. Because she's one in a million.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's perfectly fine that she, because here's the thing. It's not men's aviation.
Right.
It's naval aviation, army aviation. So you, if you can meet the standards, fine. It's not male doctor, male nurse. It is not. There's no divisions. So if you're just as good, it doesn't matter whether you're male, female, homosexual, trans, or whatever else. If you can meet the requirements, perfectly fine. But this is a female division. Why are there no females dominating in the NBA right now? Or the NFL? As a matter of fact, there's none. and there never will be. The only people dominating anything are men with taped up penises and prosthetic boobs entering into females' events. He probably stopped taping them up after a while because it's pretty uncomfortable to have your penis taped up. Now imagine after a while, you're like, you know what, man, this is starting to ache. All right, so let's do some fun vaccine stuff. There we go.
At 10:09.
Oh, wow. All right, well, I have a 19-minute, well, we started, what, at 10:20, at 9:22?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something. So I have to go into, got to do some overtime.
Yeah.
All right, so, because I ruined the front end of the show. But anyway, so this is a Camus video. I'm going to let it speak for itself, and then we're going to launch into this, and we're going to launch into it big time. The smug big pharma media are practically drooling over RFK Jr.'s MMR vaccine nod, which he has historically spoken out against. What's happened? Tom, don't say anything negative about the Trump administration. Bullcrap. Hold their feet to the fire. RFK Jr. says vaccine is... RFK Jr. Mm-hmm. says vaccine, MMR vaccination, which is not a good vaccination, is the most effective way to fight measles. Has anybody watched RFK's videos on measles? And now suddenly RFK Jr. says it's the most effective way to fight measles. And then you'd be thinking, well, you know what? Now we're going to get the approval of our critics. No, they sit there. They sit there, like as Camus says, with a smug look on their face, an arrogant condescension on their face, and enjoy your acquiescence. Watch this video. Play for me.
In Gaines County, Texas, an 8-year-old girl laid to rest after she contracted measles. State health officials attributing her death to pulmonary failure from the virus. In a statement saying the child was not vaccinated and had no reported underlying conditions. Nearly 500 measles cases have been reported in Texas since the outbreak began in late January, with 59 new cases just last week. Tonight, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. writing that the most effective way to prevent the spread of measles is the MMR vaccine. This despite his history of spreading vaccine misinformation. While it's not clear if Kennedy attended the funeral, he says he traveled to Gaines County to console the girl's family, also noting that he's redeployed CDC teams to Texas. Recent massive federal funding cuts to local health departments nationwide already slowing efforts to stop the outbreak, with dozens of measles vaccine clinics in Texas canceled in the last week.
Is the community really prepared for further measles spread?
I think that's an ongoing set of conversations that we all are having. Honestly, I don't see a quick end to it.
The girl's death in Texas is the second of a child in the outbreak, growing at an alarming rate as families search for protection against the highly contagious virus. Erica Edwards, NBC News.
Thanks for watching. Stay updated about breaking news.
All right, so there you go. Now let's look at this. Let's deep dive into this, right? So this girl, Aaron, died of measles.
Yeah.
But they said, it has to be true then.
Of course.
Because mainstream media said she died of the measles. So it must be true. You know, now listen, this is going to be wonky. And I hope you're all right with it. Because we have to really, let's deep dive into this. Because they're claiming now two people have died of measles. And it's all Trump's fault because he has cut NIH funding. So automatically people can't get measles shots. You know, you're going to get a measles shot whether there's NIH funding or not, because there's hundreds of tons of measles shots available to everybody.
Right.
If you want one, and you're stupid to get one, by the way. Well, people have died of the measles. Yeah, you know what? People are going to die of common colds every year. Go to coronavirus. They're going to die every year. We have 30 to 80,000 people die of the flu every year in the United States of America, but exactly the same amount of people die every year. 1.1 million every year. Watch. Go ahead. Pull it up. You don't believe me? Pull it up. Please do. I love when people fact check me. I love it. You can feel free to fact check me. I'm absolutely fine with it. So that's just the way that it is. But, you know, why do you need a vaccine for a disease that killed 200 people a year when America was completely and totally unsanitary, had poop flowing down the streets? Because that's when people died of the measles. Rest of it was like chicken pox, and it was a rite of passage. So why has there never been a chicken pox vaccine? Because, A, you can't vaccinate against it because it's a mutating virus. with an animal host, i.e. us. So it's ever going to mutate, and that's the way that it is. And you, by the time you vaccinate against A, it's already mutated to C. So you're now fighting against a virus that doesn't exist. Deaths per year, flu, that's 650 worldwide, right? Pneumonia, 2.5 million.
Yeah.
Worldwide. All right, that's the way it is. We have 30 to 80,000 per year. One of the biggest years of death of flu was 2017. It's 80,000 Americans died of the flu. Most of them probably elderly. And and all of those deaths were reclassified as COVID deaths. And all the pneumonia deaths, which is number one killer of the elderly, is pneumonia. Those were all reclassified as COVID deaths.
Yep.
And everyone just sits there and acts like that's perfectly fine. Those people need to go to federal prison for the rest of their lives. For treason. For reclassifying deaths. And I could get into the whole thing of death certificates or whatever else, but I can't do it. Sorry, 10:14. I am going later than normal because I screwed up the first end of the podcast. But anyway, so let's answer this, shall we? So this girl died of the measles. All right, well, let's go to Robert W. Malone, shall we? Let's go to him. Notice that those two letters at the end of his name. And also the developer of mRNA technology, Robert W. Malone, the patented developer of mRNA technology, who said, don't use it to treat a viral infection. Breaking news, another Texas child dies a tragic death after recovering from the measles. But yet her death has been attributed to the measles. Mm. Just like people dying of COVID. This is all they're trying to do is COVID the measles. Aaron, what's Bill Gates' new virus, what does he want to call it?
Remember Sears.
Sears. This is what they're going to do. All they'll do, people are like, it's going to be worse this time. Just leave this up for me. It's going to be worse. They're going to break out a virus with a 20, 30% death rate. No, they're not. It's like there's not going to be a nuclear war because they're not going to kill themselves. Vladimir Putin loves himself. Volodymyr Zelensky loves himself. There's nobody on earth who loves themselves more than Keir Starmer.
Right.
Nobody. Yeah, Sears is severe epidemic enterovirus respiratory syndrome. So it's going to be, again, I'll go ahead and just narrow Sears down for you. It's a cult.
Yeah.
With the usual death rate. But what they do is, it has the usual death rate, but they misattribute all previous deaths of anything linked to a respiratory virus, anything you could classify as respiratory virus, whether it's pneumonia, flus, colds, whatever else. And then anybody who tests positive, which they make sure that they spin up the test to make sure that everybody tests positive.
Right.
So that's what they do. So everybody will test positive. So everybody ends up, and then, of course, doing the death certificate manipulation, line one, change for line two, and all those different things. So that's what they're going to do. And they're seeing what they can do with the measles here. And they're not necessarily trying to make the measles Sears necessarily. They're just wanting to see what kind of traction can they get? What kind of traction can they get here with using it against Trump, using it to usher in another pandemic? Because again, just like climate change, just like transgenderism, it is a vehicle to usher in totalitarianism. All right, so Robert W. Malone has responded. Breaking news, another Texas child dies a tragic death after recovering from measles, not dying from the measles. Again, wonky here. If this isn't for you, just hang in there because we'll get to something else. So April 6, 2025. Another Texas child dies a tragic death after recovering from measles. A licensed Texas physician with significant experience successfully treating measles during the current outbreak is reporting a second tragic death of a chronically ill child. Mm. They reported on the news that she wasn't.
Right.
You mean they'll bold-face lie? As if that's a question. Who had been previously infected with measles in a Texas hospital. Similar to the recent unfortunate death, widely but incorrectly, because this is number two, reported as primarily caused by measles. They had another child die of the measles. It wasn't of the measles, just like nobody died of COVID. Nobody died of COVID, statistically speaking. Caused by measles rather than, because you can just attribute everything to the death of the pandemic you're trying to push. Everything. You get a spun up PCR test, you can say that everybody's positive. So whether they're caught on video doing it. I mean, again, you have a decapitated motorcycle rider. It is, his cause of death was listed as COVID.
Yeah.
That's a fact, by the way. In the state of Minnesota, they had paramedics were forced to go and take the blood of people who were already dead. Take their blood for PCR and then classify them as a COVID death. They already were dead from a car accident. That's all fact, by the way. That's from Scott Jensen. Caused by measles rather than complicated by measles. So they're saying deaths were caused by measles, not complicated by measles. This, again, a case of a child suffering from pre-existing, this is the first one, not the one we're talking about now, existing conditions, who was misdiagnosed, and it appears that she may have been improperly medically managed. In this second case, that's where we're going to stay for now on, just the first case is the same as the second case. You're like, what is the agenda? Totalitarianism. What is the agenda? Money. Via totalitarianism. What is the agenda? I'm going to comply because if I don't, I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my medical license. Why have a medical license if you're causing people to die via your medical license? In this second case, a young girl who had been, again, just Robert W. Malone, who had been previously infected but recovered from a measles infection, so then she died after recovering from the measles. Then how is her death being attributed to measles? Developed a blood infection, sepsis, after suffering from chronic tonsillitis complicated by chronic mononucleosis.
Jeez.
That's what she died of. Infectious mononucleosis, it's called IM, also known as glandular fever, is an infection usually caused by the Epstein-Barr virus. There is no vaccine for EBV. And in most cases, children that develop this common infection recover with supportive care. In this case, although, she had been developed and recovered from measles. The girl had been ill for months prior to ever getting the measles. With chronic mononucleosis, so she already had mono before she ever got the measles. And not only did she have that, the poor kid, in the midst of chronic mononucleosis, she also had chronic tonsillitis. Remember now, mononucleosis, IM, infectious mononucleosis, glandular fever, is caused by Epstein-Barr. So Epstein-Barr with chronic tonsillitis before measles even came into the picture.
Jeez.
Poor kid. And her parents had been arranging for her to have her tonsils removed, a procedure known as a tonsillectomy. Unfortunately, the child developed sepsis. It's all nothing to do with measles. People die of sepsis? Yeah. Sepsis, a bacterial blood infection, which progressed to acute respiratory syndrome, ARDS. So now we have a third. We have a third comorbidity. Third condition. Absolutely nothing to do with measles. This is what we call, I don't break this out too much anymore. This is what we call in the TLP, the facts. Not the lies that are put out for nefarious, illegal purposes, which progressed, so the sepsis, a blood infection, which progressed to acute respiratory syndrome, distress syndrome, ARDS. In this case, blood cultures identified gram-positive cocci in her blood, indicating that her sepsis and ARDS were likely caused by either a, you're going to have to pardon my stuff here, I wish I had one of my medical experts here. But anyway, Staphylococcus aureus or Staphylococcus pneumonia bacterial infection. This is Robert W. Malone talking. So does this sound like the measles killed her?
No.
And she, by the way, when she died, she didn't have the measles. But yet she's still classified as measles death. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Her parents just don't want you to know all of this when you see all this garbage on the media. Look how horrible Trump is. People are dying of the measles. People die of the measles every year. They don't die of the measles. They die when measles is a contributing illness to an already existing comorbidity. Her parents brought her to the Texas University Medical Center in Lubbock, Texas for treatment of her apparent bacterial sepsis due to underlying chronic tonsillitis and chronic mononucleosis. Where's measles? Nowhere. Measles has already been cured. Measles is already gone. At the time of the admission, the girl's father specifically requested that she be treated with an inhaled Budesonides. I don't know. I hate when I mispronounce stuff, but if I get, I should have sent this to Aaron so he could put his two cents in there. But anyway, be treated by an inhaled budesonide, something like that, nebulizer. The UMC hospital staff refused to treat her with the nebulizer and appear to have treated her as she was suffering from COVID rather than just like it was COVID. Instead, treated her as if she was suffering from COVID rather than ARDS and administered an intravascular infusion of steroids. So going back, she had respiratory distress syndrome. It's called ARDS. And they treated her like a COVID patient because that's the protocol. We're reading off the script. The father told them how to treat her. Treat her with a nebulizer. I wish I knew how to pronounce the name, but I don't.
It's right there.
Aaron, oh, okay. Aaron, what do you think? Budesonide. A nebulizer. I'm not going to try to say it again, but just so everybody knows. So that's what the father told him to treat her with. They ignored her. And they administered an intravascular infusion of steroids. That's not what you do at all. Steroids suppress the immune system's ability to fight off bacterial infections. Aaron, what does she have?
A bacterial infection. Yeah.
But they made sure that her body was ineffective in being able to fight it off.
Ridiculous.
They made sure that they disabled her body from fighting off the very problem that she had. That sounds very familiar to COVID-19. You know, you got COVID-19. We're going to jam you full of remdesivir so all your organs melt. Let's do that. You know, let's put you on a vent when your lungs are full of mucus. That's right. Let's do that. Let's jam that thing down there and tear up your lungs so you never recover again. So this now, again, put her on steroids, which suppressed immune system's ability to fight bacterial infections. And the father was aware that the inhaled nebulizer is an effective lower-risk treatment relative to steroids when treating ARDS. For a summary of the definitive clinical trial documenting the effect of nebulized budesonide, I'm just going to put it that, on respiratory mechanics and oxygenation, this is Robert W. Malone now, in acute lung injury, acute respiratory distress syndrome. We had Robert W. Malone on the show. He does talk like this. Please see the paper review study. So anyway, instead of receiving clinically proven standard of care treatment, with the nebulizer, according to the family's wishes, the young girl was administered IV steroids and sedated with drugs that suppressed her respiratory drive and deep breathing in the midst of a respiratory infection. That's what you do. You shut down the immune system and you shut down the respiratory system while you're in the midst of a respiratory infection. These are the medical experts, ladies and gentlemen. It's as if they purposely want to kill people, because they do. Steroids and sedated with drugs suppress the respiratory drive and deep breathing, increase the likelihood of partial collapse or closure of her lungs, a medical complication known as something else I can't pronounce, which reduces the ability of the lungs to bring oxygen to the blood, making it even harder for her to recover from her bacterial pneumonia and sepsis. Anybody hear measles even mentioned in this?
No.
Do you know why measles is mentioned in this? Because she'd already been treated and it already had gotten over. She had already recovered completely and totally from measles. This is how she died. As a consequence, she passed away due to sepsis, resulting from chronic tonsillitis and mononucleosis, complicated by medical mismanagement. Does that sound like measles to you? Because that's the propaganda that's being pushed by the media as they gleefully, and where, this is where I miss cussing, and I'll put the word frick in there. What the frick is RFK doing? The most effective treatment for, I'm going to get on the record here, I'm bending over and spread. What do they got on him? What do they have on him? What is it? Something happened. Something's happened, because the moment somebody breaches Washington, D.C., they change. What happened, RFK? Why are you putting out in the media that the best way to avoid measles that didn't kill this girl, and you're responding as if measles killed this girl, and he knows darn well it didn't. But now you're going to be a propagandist, Goebbels liar, and go out there and say the MMR vax is the way to stop the measles. You know the way you stop the measles? You have the measles and you're God kills the measles via your immune system. Simple as that. It's like everybody else. You don't need to be vaxxed against an illness that at its worst killed 200 Americans a year. When we had no sanitation, it didn't kill anybody now, statistically speaking. It kills some. It kills people with comorbidities. But they can, a lot of times, if you have actual proper medical treatment, which this certainly was not, you're going to be perfectly fine. But instead, these doctors now are completely and totally, they don't have any training. See the medical schools, the idiots that are coming out of medical schools? Yeah. They're up there doing rap dances. Gangster rap dances. And I'm like, holy crap. I have a friend of mine who's a vet. Who's a retired vet, recently retired vet. They're not doing their trainings anymore on actual animals. They're doing them on rubber models. And listen, there's nobody who loves dogs more than me. I'm just telling you. They basically do their surgeries on dogs that were basically, you know, sentenced to die the next day, you know, at an animal shelter. So they get the dogs, put them under, practice their surgeries on them because they're gonna be euthanized the next day anyway, and then they euthanize them after they get done with surgeries. That's not being done anymore. Because PETA came in.
Great.
So now your dog is going to go to a surgeon who's been trained on a Barbie doll. That's a fact, by the way. Look it up. That's why none of these people know what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing. And of course, I'm not speaking to every doctor and every nurse. Still some great doctors and great nurses out there. But a lot of them are simply reading off of a pharma script because it benefits pharma, which benefits politicians. And I'll talk, Garen, go.
Yeah, I was going to say, when my wife got in a car accident and we went to her doctors and stuff, and she had a traumatic brain injury, the doctor that was supposed to be the specialist on TBIs. Yeah, specialist. The experts.
Bow.
She was literally... Bow, she was literally on her computer scrolling through a script and saying, do you feel blah, blah, blah?
Yep.
And then my wife was like, no. Do you feel da-da-da? Yes. Okay, if you feel that, clicks on that link, opens up another script. Okay, do you feel? It was just a script the whole time.
That's right. And it did not used to be that way. All right, go to the next one for me. Thomas Wren's tweet. Here, I just want to get, let's do an update, delete, updated on the flu vaccine. Everybody's got to go get their flu vaccine. Never got one, never will. Never put on a mask, never will. Never close my church, never will. Never social distance, never will. Never use alcohol gel to try to defeat a airborne virus. Never will. Absolutely ridiculous to get a flu shot because it's an ever mutating virus because it has an animal host. Just look it up. Thomas Rentz, powerful right wing attorney, breaking: get the flu shot and you are 27% more likely to get the flu. It has negative efficacy this year. And by the way, it always does. Negative efficacy this year. Just like the COVID jabs and pretty much any other quote-unquote vaccine, it appears that the flu shot is an abject failure. In the preprint study from the Cleveland Clinic, employees that got the flu shot had a 27% higher chance of contracting the flu. The COVID shots have also shown negative efficacy in numerous studies. We said it in the summer of 2021, and no one listened, but we will keep saying it. To try and keep people safe, get the shot, get the disease. As simple as that. And by the way, I'm wondering, are these mRNA vaccines now with the flu? Because a lot of them are. So now it is a negative efficacy. You know, efficacy means effectiveness, obviously. So it's 27% effective. Well, this not only is not 27% effective, it's reversed the other way. You're 27% more likely to get the very thing that you're being vaccinated against. All right, I guess that's it. Rumble Rants. Tonight, Nude Monk, $50. Nate Dad, $50. Tony Nuthead, I think that's two nights in a row. Thank you so much, $35. Black Pitbull Art, $20. Thank you so much. I saw one at the end here. Is that the last one?
Yeah,
saw,
that was Tony.
You get it? Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, love you guys in the rant. Love you guys in the chat. Thanks for sticking with us tonight with my malfunction at the beginning of the show. Thank you guys for sticking with us. Stick around for the post game. You'll love it. It really is good. Mostly uplifting. Well, I think it's all uplifting. I think it's all good stuff. So stick around for it. Back here tomorrow night, actually, at 9 o'clock. Love you guys. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.